there. This is Kelly and Company with Steve Kelly and Bill Rogan.
Not quite yet. But
filling in for Bill Rogan today, Denver Post columnist Krista Kiefer. Now, here's Steve.
Yeah, Krista's still here. Bill actually will make a cameo this afternoon after 3 o'clock, right?
So the boys will be back in town.
The boys will be back, and though I've enjoyed this a great deal, are you having fun, by the way?
I've had a blast.
Did you have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend.
Welcome back. The big news story over the weekend, John Elway, of course, reporting just a bit ago that, in fact, we thought this was going to happen tomorrow, but in fact, John Fox, Denver Broncos head coach, underwent surgery for an aortic valve replacement earlier today, and is in recovery and is said to have been doing very well, which is good news.
Well, it's kind of, I'm not going to say it's a routine surgery, but it is a surgery that has a very high success rate. I'm sure he's going to heal up just fine.
It's becoming more and more commonplace.
Well, people's valves go out, and they put in, I think, there's synthetic valves, I believe, there's also pork valves.
Yeah.
Or pig valves, not called a pork valve. Pork is what you eat. It's a pig valve.
If I am not mistaken, our own Peter Boyle's had a surgery not far away from or akin to this. So I would like to see, maybe we can make a call. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'd like to talk to Peter. I remember him in recovery said, you know, he was very funny, how Peter is. He said, they cracked me open like a walnut, you know. And I mean, you've got to imagine how the pain in recovery. They said the surgery is nothing compared to the recovery time. So he'll be back maybe in 9 weeks, maybe.
I think they saw your sternum in half.
But that's not a big deal because you heal right up. The bigger issue is leadership and what's going to happen with the Broncos. Now, who's kidding who? We know that Peyton Manning is what would you call it, the titular head of, coach of the offense. But now you've got Jack Del Rio, who's the defensive coordinator, becoming the interim head coach. What does that mean in terms of team chemistry? What does that mean in terms of the Broncos, who are on a roll, let's face it? But let's broaden it out even more and talk about leadership lost and what happens to team chemistry. This gentleman, our next guest, 20 years as an Army officer, an executive at Accenture. And I was looking at this gentleman's background. This is amazing. He has led and managed teams in the deserts of Kuwait, the mountains of Turkey, and all over. Sal Sylvester knows what it means to be a team member and a leader, as well as an Army Ranger and airborne schools and 6 marathons and Ironman, where I guess you're your own team leader. If you did the Ironman?
I did. I was a much younger man at the time. I did the Ironman in Florida in 2003.
Well, welcome to Kelly and Company, and now he's with 512 Solutions, a consulting group, and we're talking with Sal Sylvester here on Kelly and Company. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here, Steve and Krista.
So the context is John Fox.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk a little more broad about leadership and chemistry and what do you think, even though not specific, what do you think is going to be the outcome of a guy like John Fox not being the head coach for a while?
No, that's a great question, and frankly, it's a question that all of my clients have to answer in the corporate side of the world. I think what the Broncos have done extremely well is they've gotten the right people on their team. So, you know, if you look at the front office with John Elway, and if you look at John Fox and Jack Del Rio as the defensive coordinator, and Adam Gase as the offensive line coordinator, and on the field with Peyton Manning, I mean, these guys have clearly focused on bringing the right people into their organization, and that's the first place that organizations need to focus to begin with. Because when you have the right people on your team, you get to spend a lot less time managing and motivating them because they're agile enough to respond to whatever situations arise. So I'm fully confident that the Broncos, they have a plan, they've got the right people in place, and they're going to move forward toward their goals.
So are you saying that if you have a great team in place, you could temporarily lose somebody, and the team itself is like a well-oiled machine will continue in the absence of that person?
I mean, that's the idea. And I think one of the mistakes that leaders make out in the world is not focusing on getting the right people in the right seats to begin with. So they focus on other things first. But again, when you've got the right people, then you get to focus on what's most important for the organization instead of wasting your time and energy managing people in ways that are just not productive. So Yeah, certainly that helps. And there are more things that a team has to consider, but that's where it starts, with the right people.
Isn't a good leader one that can bring the best, something that was unexpected out of those teammates? Something I've heard leadership, who was it, John Wooten or somebody was, it was Bill Rogan, was talking about an Army football coach who said, you know, a great leader is somebody that gets somebody to do something they didn't know they could do.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, they build organizations that sustain beyond themselves as a leader. So it's not about them. It's not about their own agenda. It's not about their own ego. They're building something greater that lasts beyond their term as whoever they are as a leader for that organization.
So the worst case scenario would be one of those leaders that everything depends on them and there isn't the infrastructure, there isn't the team approach. So when they're out, say for a heart operation, things just kind of crumble in their absence.
Yeah, that absolutely is the worst case scenario. But I think what great leaders do is they put what I call the cultural building blocks in place. And this is the team foundation. So A, it starts with getting the right people on the team. Number two, it starts with, it continues with clarifying what a team's purpose is, because most teams don't really understand what their purpose is, and as a result, they end up wasting all sorts of time. So in the private sector, you might see this in your weekly staff meeting when team members update each other on what they did last week, what they're doing next week, and nobody else really cares. It's a complete waste of team time. So understanding team purpose is absolutely key. And then having clarity of the team's vision. What's the compelling vision for the organization, and is it shared across the organization? And then finally, values, having some common and shared values, because that's really the DNA of any team, and that guides how the team operates. And that's why the Broncos are going to continue to be successful, because they have that foundation in place.
There you have a prediction from Sal Sylvester with 512 Solutions Consulting Group here. Right in Boulder, are you enrolled?
Right, yep, we're based in downtown Boulder, and we serve clients all over the region and nationally as well.
What's 512?
Yeah, what's 512?
512 is actually a rock climbing term, so technical rock climbing routes are rated on a scale of 50 to 515 in terms of difficulty, and I consider climbers who climb at that 512 level world class, so it embodies the clients that we work with and the training that we deliver.
No wonder Kristen and I knew nothing about that.
Yes, I don't climb rocks as a rule.
as a general rule.
Well, we saw it, though, in the corporate world, probably most, strikingly, when Steve Jobs passed away with Apple.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see how things play out with Steve Jobs. And you know, we've heard all sorts of analysis on what his management style was, but certainly he's created something absolutely incredible and has left a legacy of a culture that will continue beyond him.
So with purpose, vision, and values, who probably one of the best leaders in the last century?
Ooh, what a great question. One of the best leaders in the last century. Let's see.
Last 10 years. Pick a decade, Sal.
Pick a decade. Okay.
And don't pick somebody evil. Not an evil leader.
Yeah.
I guess that depends what side of the aisle we're on, right? Sure. Listen, I think you could point to Steve Jobs in terms of his genius and his vision. He created products and changed the way that we do things. We could probably argue about his management style, but in terms of being a visionary and a leader and creating something great, I'd probably have to point to Steve Jobs.
Well, I mean, let's bring it back to the Broncos, since this was kind of the touch point that brought you on here. Peyton Manning, I mean, really, and I wasn't kidding, I mean, he's as much, they say, as a coach as he is a player. So he's a leader.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he's a great leader. And if you look at him, number one, he leads by example in everything that he does. He works harder than probably anybody else out there. He's incredibly technically talented, and he's fantastic about building a culture of trust and respect. I mean, that's a leader that we all would want to work for.
Yeah, he doesn't project ego, which I think
not
is interesting.
At all. It's not about him. It's not about him or his results, even though they're fantastic. It's about his team's results first. And I think that's a sign of a great leader right there.
Yeah, he's very well aware of the purpose, has the vision, and the values and the work ethic that you talk about here.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I'll make one other comment. These guys also have an even deeper purpose to play for. And in a sense, we might see them rallying around what's happening with John Fox and, you know, just
like a win one for the Gipper type of a thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. That's fascinating. Team dynamics, what undermines, I guess you could just go the opposite. If you don't have a purpose, you don't have a vision, your values stink. I mean, that undermines any success. But what is the one thing you see in corporations or companies you work with 512 Solutions that is just death to any organization or chemistry?
I would say focus on individual ego first versus an individual agenda first. So, you know, you can look at any corporation, and when a leader hasn't made a shift to focus on what the organization needs and they focus specifically on their silos and competing for resources so that their functional area is successful versus making decisions for the betterment of the entire team, that shoots everything down. And that results in a loss of trust, it results in a loss of collaboration, and ultimately that leads to a lack of engagement and productivity across the workforce.
We have a couple of quarterbacks back. We had a quarterback that was really quite good when it came to skill, but wasn't much of a team player.
Cutler?
Yeah. And, you know, the way that I describe that type of person is I call them a derailer. In other words, they're great at producing. When I ask people how they do in the workplace, they always say they're great producers. And the problem is that they completely derail the team process. And so one of the challenges that leaders have is getting rid of that great producer, but yet it's that same person that derails the team process. Derailers. One of the biggest challenges that leaders face.
Now, I don't want to suck you into the politics of things here, Sal. You didn't come on to talk about that. But I think I would be remiss if I did not talk about America. And let's view Congress and this president as a team. We all understand, I guess, I don't know what the purpose is. We used to have an idea of a vision for America. The values seem to be undermined. What the hell is going on with America, Sal?
Well, let's see if we can solve this in the next two minutes.
Well, that's all we have. Yeah. Good luck.
Exactly. No, listen, I mean, one of the things about Congress is that they are not a team, and they're really not structured to be a team. They're structured to represent their district, their state, their constituents as their primary focus. Now, I think there are a lot of things that get in the way of, you know, the greater good, the vision for this country, but the bottom line is that they are not a team.
Do we have a leader?
We do have a leader, yes.
But in name, but I see this talk of divisiveness, and I mean, we see the result, though. I don't know. Maybe you disagree. You spent a great deal of your life in the military here. I mean, I don't see America, if it's a corporation, running correctly, even though we do have the division of powers and, you know, this friction, hopefully, as iron sharpens iron, so one sharpens another. The designers or the founders created this as an adversarial role, I should say. And I don't want to drag on. The point is, was to come out with a better outcome, though, through dissent and disagreement.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because that dissent and that disagreement is exactly what we try to create in the work that we do with our clients. So one of the challenges that teams have in the workplace is that they avoid that conflict and that dialogue, and as a result, people don't get committed to decisions that are being made.
And you get groupthink as well.
And then you get groupthink. So, you know, at the national level, the dissent, the conflict, the disagreement, the dialogue, that's really important. And what we need, I think, are leaders from all sides to come together to be able to find a solution that works for this country and for the vision that we had or hopefully will have again for this country.
Listen, it's been fun, and we've learned
Thank
a lot
you.
Here. Sal Sylvester with 512 Solutions Consulting Group in Boulder. And again, in the context of John Fox and leadership, where there is a vacuum, but really there isn't, because you say it is a true team that set itself up pretty well for success.
Yeah. Yep, they've got the foundation, and I'm confident we're going to see some great things this Sunday and for the rest of the season.
Well into the playoffs and beyond.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right, take care. Kelly and company, we'll continue. Hey, Operation Homefront, speaking of the military, we'll be back, Krista and myself, to tell you about that right after this on Kelly and Company.
What is radical faith? Is it burning flags? Is it marching in Iran, Egypt, or Washington?